Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Maggiano. I'm here today with the lovely and talented Jennifer Grace Luttrell, JGL.
Hello.
On the streets, they call you JGL, don't they?
They sure do.
I should also say I'm here with Peach. She's sitting right next to Jennifer.
Yes.
She's being very, very quiet now.
For now. She's got stuff to say, though.
Yeah, when we don't pay attention to her, she likes to flip out, so she may start to get loud in a moment.
Well, she's also pumped about today's topic.
She's pumped. We're all pumped. Everybody's excited.
We're all pumped.
Today's topic is the 1997. How long ago is that now? 30 years? Almost?
Almost. Next year.
It should be coming back in the theaters for...
Oh, God, I hope so.
The 1997 film... Spice World.
So good.
La, 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 la. You guys ready to spice up your life?
Yep.
Everybody in the world?
To spice up your life.
All the women, all the girls?
No.
No, who?
It's just, you got it wrong.
I fucked it up.
People of the world.
People of the world.
Every boy and every girl.
Every boy and every girl.
Yeah.
The Spice World is about girl power.
You bet.
I believe.
The whole Spice Girl brand is about girl power.
Yes. So Spice World was the Spice Girls movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you know Spice Girls are even... I imagine even younger generations like have just some idea of who Spice Girls are. But Jen, why don't you tell us who Spice Girls are? And then you tell us who they are to you.
Sure. Spice Girls, five incredible women who... Only had two albums. Well, three,
yeah.
I guess. But two big ones. Spice.
Two before this movie happens, right?
Right.
Spice and Spice World.
Yes.
Which isn't the soundtrack to this movie.
No. I know. You kept asking me that.
I always thought it was.
And, you know, they're incredible.
What are their real names?
Jerry is Ginger Spice. Emma is Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria, now Beckham. Is Posh. Mel C is Sporty, and Mel B is Scary Spice.
Okay.
I'll have Spice after.
All right. So when in 1997, mm-hmm. I was like, what? I was born in 83. So.
Like 14, probably.
Yeah. So my crush was Baby Spice.
Sure.
And I don't know if I had a favorite. Who was your favorite and who was your crush?
My favorite was Baby Spice.
Yeah.
I was Baby Spice all the way. She's an Aquarius. I'm an Aquarius. Our birthdays are close together.
What's her birthday? Do you still remember?
It's January 27th.
Don't look it up.
No, I'm going to look it up now. I already said it.
No, that's just what it is.
January 21st.
Oh, still very close.
Mine's February 1st, but that's okay. We're still in Aquarius. I was Baby Spice all the way.
Because you were always the smallest? You're a very diminutive person.
What?
You're a very diminutive person?
Uh-huh. Sure. And I was blonde.
Yes.
And I'm sweet. And yes. She's... this movie, really.
She's very Bubbles.
Yeah.
And
yes,
you're very Bubbles.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. She's got a lot of stuffed animals.
Yeah.
She...
You still sleep with a stuffed animal.
Yeah, you bet.
About to be 40 soon.
Yeah.
It's all right.
He's been by my side.
No one collects more toys than me. Look around us.
He's just been by my side, and that's where he stays.
Yes. His name is Freckles, which is a great name for a Dalmatian stuffed animal.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you were like a super huge fan.
Yes. At this time, prime, right? Prime age, prime demographic.
So, if I was like 14, you were like 10.
I was 10. When this movie came out.
So.
Obsessed. Had posters on the wall.
Okay.
Ugh. Obsessed. Spice Girl fever. We did.
Yeah.
One of the Spice Girl songs at one of our talent shows.
And you played.
Baby.
Baby, of course.
Gotta be.
What was the. Was it Pen 15? Or some other show? There was some show where they did that.
Might have been Pen 15. They're the right age.
Yeah.
That was the right
there was
time.
Probably a lot of talent shows.
Oh, no, wait.
At that time.
No. I think it was Dairy Girls.
Oh, I think it might have been both.
Maybe.
Because I remember in 10-15, the Asian girl is like cast out. She has to be, they make her be scary.
I know.
And she's like, why do I have to be scary?
I know.
So, do you remember this movie coming out?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was pumped.
So you were, like, waiting for
pumped.
It?
Yeah.
You saw it in the theater?
You bet. Many times.
Well, okay. Who took you? What was that experience?
Probably at Marion. Gotta be. And 10 was my friend Jen still living here. We were I definitely went with my friend Cora. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was in the talent show with me. Okay. We probably went. I'm trying to think of like who was in the talent show with me and who we probably went with. I had a friend Cora growing up who we were friends from like kindergarten till like high, like almost college, and then she moved to Florida, and then, you know, when you move, things get tricky. But definitely went with Cora. Definitely went with Aunt Marianne.
Oh, peach is sad.
I know. I'm sorry, baby girl.
Why are you paying attention to things that aren't me?
And I probably went with my friend Jen. My friend Jen, our birthdays were a day apart, and we always used to celebrate together. Oh. That was fun.
And did you do like the Mel name? Like, I'm Jen.
For us, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jen L and Jen G. Jennifer Gallo. Actually, no, we didn't do initial. We kind of just did Jen Luttrell and Jen Gallo.
Seems like
or the Jens. We did a lot together.
The Jens. Like the Corys.
Yeah. We used to go to art class at Michael's. Mm-hmm. And our teacher really liked us. She used to call us the Jens.
Anyway. Do you have any memory of the theatrical experience?
Not really. I mean, I remember going.
Was it packed? Were people screaming and shouting?
I don't remember. I mean, it wasn't like the Taylor Swift concert.
Which was insane. Honestly, the most pandemonium I've ever seen at any screening.
Insane.
Of any movie.
The one I went to with Kelly was better. Should have gone to that one.
The one we went to for...
That was chaos.
Eras Tour. It was like a concert. Like, they had to keep coming in and telling the girls to, like, not stand at the stage.
Yeah.
Because of the fire hazard.
And then they give up.
Yeah.
At one point, they were just screaming.
Yeah.
They weren't screaming the songs. Selfies. That's fine.
Yeah.
They were just screaming.
They were having an out-of-body experience.
I know. But, like, I don't care if you're screaming the songs. That's part of it. But, like, you're just screaming. Is somebody murdering you?
Why are you killing me a good time,
Grandma? Because, like, whatever. But, I understand. I get it.
Is somebody
murdering
you?
I get it.
They're feeling it in their body, and it's such a big feeling. They don't know what to do. They got to scream.
Scream the lyrics like everyone else. Get it out through the melody.
I get it.
Anyway, whatever.
So, my experience is I remember owning the first album. I loved Wannabe. They don't sing Wannabe to halfway through this movie.
Nah.
And part of me was thinking, like, are they really not going to sing Wannabe? Although I have a theory that it's a reshoot.
Uh-huh.
That scene. There's actually a lot of shit. Just watching this movie,
it's chaos.
There's a lot happening, but there's also no real, like, there's a lot of plot, no story.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, the thing's cut to ribbons. There's a lot of editing.
You bet.
Chicanery.
Great.
And
golden.
There's a lot of stuff that I feel like this is reshoots.
Yeah.
Maybe reshoots to make the whole thing work better. Maybe reshoots for an American audience to get a better handle on things. I never saw this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, let's see. This is 1997. When was their first album?
I think it was only like 96 or something.
Spice by Spice Girls.
Or 95. I think they were only really big for like 2 years.
Yes. Well, you know, like that was a time in our lives where... A year's a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, it felt like they've been around for 10 years. And they hit so hard and so fast and so big.
96.
I was right.
Wow. They made a movie in one year.
Yeah. Because
They struck the iron.
They were huge.
They really were. And so fast.
And they're kind of genius. I mean, I know, like, I guess you could say they're stereotypes, but like...
Yeah.
Being a girl, like, you can find someone that you fit with.
Yeah.
You can identify right away.
Yeah, yeah. So I never saw this movie because I do remember owning the first album, but then, like, at some point I saw Scream, and then I went down another path of, like, horror movies.
Sure.
And I never saw this, but I do remember it being on in the background at moments in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
But this, just now we watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched a rip of a VHS. Now, you actually have the original VHS still.
You bet.
And you have multiple VHS players.
Yeah, but I right now, to watch it.
Right now, we're remodeling your room. And so there's, like, there was no way to make it happen.
Yeah.
But we watched a rip of the VHS, which was lovely. There was a, you know, coming soon. There was a trailer for Madeline.
Madeline.
A film I've never seen. I've never seen that either.
We should watch that.
And Mask of Zorro. You know, you remember VHSs. Or you don't. But it was a fun time.
Swan Princess 2.
Swan Princess 2. Don't know what Swan Princess 1 was.
Two swans, two princess.
No, it was three, because it said the end of the Swan Princess trilogy.
Oh.
And I'm over here like, what the fuck is a Swan Princess? Is that some Don Bluth shit?
Yeah.
It's not Disney.
So. No, it's not Disney.
Certainly not Disney.
Oh, I don't, she doesn't like when you make fun of Swan
Princess.
She's like,
don't talk about, please don't.
She's
don't
the biggest fan. Don't talk about
Don Bluth that way. Peach, sing the Fievel song. Somewhere out there. So this is my first time. So, as I said a lot last week on the episode, I'd like to think of PCMC as about love.
Sure.
So I really want to experience your love, because I know a lot of people listening to this will have warm, fuzzy feelings like you do. Like the way I do for things that are inherently bad, like Masters of the Universe. But being that I just saw it now at 42, I have a lot to say about
the masterpiece of it.
How not great it is. But I don't want it to be an argument, and I don't want to squash on your joy.
Sure.
Because the truth is that it all equals more than the sum of its parts.
Right.
And the way it makes you feel is the point.
Uh-huh.
But I, you know, this is a movie that I you know, I always was like, what is this movie? Because I had seen little scenes. I knew there was a pregnant girl in it.
You bet.
I knew vague, because I was big in the Beatles, so I knew that vaguely it was kind of a riff on Hard Day's Night or Help, which were their movies, which is actually, the story is a lot like A Hard Day's Night, because it's basically them jumping from gang to gang, like to from event to event to event. Uh-huh. There's a party in that. Even like, they'll cut away to like one of them having a conversation with one person, and it's like one random joke. But the bus is a lot like the movie Help, because in the second Beatles movie, Help, they go home and they're like, all right, see you tomorrow, George. And then they have like, there's like four houses and then you go in four doors, and then it cuts to them in a giant house and they all walk through their own door, but it's one giant house that they live in.
Fun.
And that's basically the bus here.
Bus is amazing.
It's a TARDIS.
Iconic. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a double-decker bus with a Union Jack on it. But it's, like, literally a gigantic space that has, like, space for all of them. And that's all... The Beatles had all of that in Help.
Yeah,
So there's fun. There's fun to this. And, you know, I was thinking... I was trying to put myself back in time. So there was a time, like, you know, pre-internet, where you just wanted to get eyes on people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... Let's say it's 97, you're obsessed with the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
You see their videos, you see them whenever they, like, are on a talk show, you see them their in magazines. But, like, this is a movie. This is, like, an hour and a half where you can look at them. You can get a piece of them. And that's something.
Yeah.
Of the five ladies, we have a varied range of acting abilities. I actually think... Posh is probably the best actress.
Wow, really? I always thought...
Who do you think's the best actress?
She wasn't.
Oh, really?
You think I thought she's the Jerry. Worst?
Jerry's pretty good, and she's, like, the leader. So she has to, like, handle more than other people.
Yeah. She always feels stiff. I mean, I know that's her...
Well,
thing.
I would say, hands down, the worst is Sporty.
Yeah.
She really, like... And she's giving her all. She's committing, but she just can't.
Yeah.
She just can't. You don't believe anything she's doing at any point. Also because they have a lot of, like, she's doing curls and then she's on a butt. Like, there's a lot of her just, like, in scenes doing sporty shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Mel B is good, too. Scary.
Yes. Really and good. All of these women are alive still, yes?
Yes.
We haven't lost any of them.
Nope.
But some have no, like, footprint anymore in pop culture, right? Like, Scary is... She's one of the judges in the British X Factor.
She still does. Yeah, she's still... I feel like she's been around.
Scary.
Yes.
No, scary. Oh, I'm saying Scary's one of the ones that's still around.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Scary's a host, or she's a judge on X Factor, right?
Yeah. I think so. She's a judge.
She's a judge on some singing show. Obviously, probably
Victoria
Beckham is the biggest, like, because she's rich and famous and married to like the biggest footballer ever.
Yeah.
Sporty, where is she now?
I feel like I saw recent. Well, I mean, she posted. I think that they own the movie again, so it'll come to streaming soon
for the 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason we watched a rip of it on Internet Archive was because it's not streaming anywhere. Yeah. You can't buy it anywhere. Are there DVDs even that you can buy?
Hey.
It's hard to get your... Peach's got a toy. It's hard to... Yes, play with that toy. It's hard to get your hands on this motion picture.
Yeah. But
it will soon be less hard. Yeah. Let's hope.
And then I don't know where Emma is either. I mean, I haven't really followed them.
Well, I think they bang around... In the UK, like, well, I remember seeing a live Rocky Horror from, like, I don't know, early 2000s that she was in.
Oh, fun.
And I think that was the one that had Anthony Head as Frankenfurter. I think she was Janet.
Mm.
Or maybe she was Magenta.
Oh.
Which, actually, that makes more sense. And where is Ginger?
I don't know.
Didn't she try to be on her own, have her own... music career? Did she put out an album?
Well, we found out, like, this year why they broke up.
Oh.
And it's...
Please let me know.
Because, I mean, I think it's true. I hope I'm not spreading rumors, but...
Spread rumors about the Spice Girls on PCMC.
Because her and Scary Spice were in a relationship, and then they broke up. And then I think she couldn't...
I am scandalized.
Yeah, I think she just couldn't.
I am scandalized. Now that you say this, I remember this coming out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. 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 So.
Wow. Let's all just sit with that for a minute. So that's when they broke up, really, at the height of.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really were like here and then gone.
Right.
But I think had a huge effect on the rest of the 90s.
Yeah.
And the rest of pop culture. And sort of like girl boss feminism.
Ugh, girl power. Girl power was, it was so good.
But how do we really define it? Because I feel like this movie, if there's any kind of, there's no real story, but if there's any kind of theme, it's that the men around them are trying to exploit their talent.
Well, right.
You know, there's no real good villain, but there's like a handful of villains. There's like the guy who works at the, I guess he's supposed to be like Rupert Murdoch, the guy who works as the editor of like the yellow newspaper.
Yes.
And he hires Richard O'Brien from Rocky Horror to be a paparazzo.
Right.
And then there's George Wendt and what's his name from Kids in the Hall are kind of bad guys, but I also think they might be reshoots entirely. Just to put an American star in it. They're kind of bad guys, but then they also, towards the end, become like this weird meta thing of explaining what the movie is. This is also a cameo fest.
Yeah.
There are so many cameos from people in this.
Yeah, it's great.
So I think the weird thing at the heart of it is like, oh, I was talking about what is girl power
really
mean?
Well, I mean, everything was established before the movie came out. Mm-hmm. Anything, it was just like, you know, there are... to be okay in your identity and to, you know, it's okay to be smart or it's okay to be whoever you are. And, you know, that's whole, like, they make fun of Ginger Spice throughout it, but, like, to say the smart things and to talk too much and to be too loud. And
did it empower you?
I
remember, I'm saying this as a man who's empowered by an action figure with muscles.
Sure. Yeah. I think so.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I love them.
Was it your first taste of feminism?
Probably.
And look at you now.
For sure.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think people, for sure.
I think people deride it because it was so corporatized and it kind of was like kind of a slogan more than like a deep ideology.
Yeah.
But I think it had a lasting effect.
Yeah.
Like most of the girl power girls probably grew up to be like actual like, you know, third wave feminists and stuff. So the movie has this weird thing. So the weird like problem I think at the heart of the movie is that it has a lot that it wants to say, but then like there's moments where it seems like it's trying to say that the men around them exploit them, And there are moments when it seems to say, like, they're controlled by a corporate system. And that they're forced to be in these stereotypes that have been given to them.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, they are always doing the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kept comparing it because there's a lot like Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josie and the Pussycats, which also has Alan Cummings in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that movie is very ironic on purpose. I kept trying to think, like, is there irony here? And I don't know if there is. In my view, I don't think there's an irony. I think there's, like, there's just a fissure at the heart of this of, like, it's critiquing something but also being that thing at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a fun sequence where they're at a photo shoot,
mm-hmm.
and they start impersonating other celebrities, mm-hmm. which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Sporty and Baby are Zuko and...
Oh, yeah, Danny.
Danny Zuko, John Travolta,
yeah.
and Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because it's a little bit of gender queerness there with Sporty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Having her be the guy.
Yeah.
And then, what do you call it? Scary's Tina Turner.
Baby's Twiggy at one point.
Yes, Twiggy, yeah. And then they are each other.
Yeah, that's...
Which is fun.
That was the best part.
Yeah.
I remember that from the trailer, and I was like, oh, I cannot wait to see this.
Yes. Marketing
was brilliant.
They had
sticker books that you had to, you had the book that had, like, some of it had pictures from the movie in it, so you could get a little taste of the scenes before, but also, like, some of it you had to get, a lot of it you had to get the stickers to, like, see the parts of the movie, and they're all, like, blind bag. A ton of their stuff is blind bag.
Wow, the blind
so
bag,
you have geez. To, like, the yeah. gum. Had a sticker book because it came with stickers. So you had to buy the gum. I think they really got me. I think is it the gum or the lollipops had it too? No. Maybe it was just the gum. Only one did I complete it. I still should have brought it.
I should have brought it.
I have them. I know I didn't finish the movie one. But
there's still time. There's still eBay.
Is there
when we were watching the movie? they at one point Scary takes a Polaroid picture, and as I've said on podcast, me and Jen are getting into Polaroids.
Yeah.
And you said, "Oh, that was a real item." The Spice Girls Polaroid.
I wanted it so bad,
and then I looked it up on eBay, and it's like $70.
I know.
I think you need to get it.
I know.
I deserve it.
I remember asking for it.
Babe, imagine going out and people see you with your Spice Girls Polaroid.
I know, a
conversation starter.
I wanted it so bad. The answer was that we have a Polaroid at home. But not a Spice Girls one.
Guess what? You're a grown-ass woman now.
I know.
You could have as many Polaroids as you want.
I know. Maybe.
Okay. We'll think about it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get it for you for your birthday.
Uh-huh.
So the marketing really got you.
Yeah, for all... I mean, the gum was unrelated. And the lollipop. The lollipops had to have stickers. I just can't imagine how. Or did I just really like them?
Stickers were really big in the 90s.
They were really big. But I'm trying to think of why I ate so many of them. But they also were delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there was a collectible part of it.
So in this movie, Baby is constantly sucking on Chubba Chubs?
That's what they were. That was the lollipops.
I was going to say, was there...
Yes.
So that was the product tie-in.
Yeah.
They were Spice Girls Chubba Chubs.
Yes. And
because I remember Chubba Chubs beyond Spice Girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but they were Spice Girls and they were like clear on top and they had like an outline of one of the Spice Girls when you opened it. Like in the lollipop.
Do Chubba Chubs still exist?
Yeah. I think I've seen them.
Why did Google change to China? Chubba Chubs. So Chubba Chubs were like high-end, quote, lollipops that had different flavors. But it wasn't just like different fruit flavors. There was like a coffee one and like they were very good. And she's literally got one every single
They had like the picture of them in it.
Okay, so the product integration is strong.
And they had stickers. I was right.
They did have stickers.
24 stickers. Now I can't remember if I got all of the lollipop stickers or all of the gum stickers. I know I only completed one.
Mm.
But.
Well, there's still time.
I could go for a Spice Girls lollipop right now.
What did it taste like? What was their flavor?
I think it was like cherry or something. I'm trying to see if it says. Oh, and it was gum.
There was gum inside the
Chubba
Chub?
Oh, no, it was strawberry. strawberry. Yes, it says gum lollipop. Wow, now I kind of remember.
Like
like a Tootsie, or yeah. Not a Tootsie Pop, whatever.
Yeah, a bubble yum, whatever. No, whatever fries is called. Interesting.
Oh, this is on eBay too. You think I'll die if I eat it?
Oh, no. Can a lollipop go bad?
Gotta.
Gum can. One time in like the early 2000s, I got a pack of like Batman 1989 cards. I don't remember where.
Oh my god.
And it came with a piece of gum, which was what, 2000, like 20 years old at that point? Or no, not 20 years. It was like a little more than 10. Anyway, I put it in my mouth and it just turned to dust immediately. And like I didn't eat it as much as my body absorbed it. It was very weird. Die. No, I didn't die.
I'll shut my mouth. One Spice Girls lollipop on eBay is about $25. 5 factory sealed Chubba Chubs is $50,000.
$50,000? That's a really? What is she playing with?
Your blanket.
Oh no, she's trying to get that other treat. She's trying to get her other weed treat. She's trying to get high again. This is insane. There's like, are there any bids on this?
$50,000. This is your chance to start.
$50,000 or best offer. Is there a way to know how long
my this best has offer been is up? $10?
This is the most absurd shit I've ever heard. There's no way this is 50. It only has 4 likes.
You need to start a Patreon so we can start raising money for 5 Spice Girl lollipops.
Oh, with this, the 50 G's. This is where we're going to. Okay,
it's up to you guys.
Fair enough.
It'll be the first PCMC video.
So, one of the things in the movie that I think is kind of one of the I think baffling parts of the movie is Roger Moore, who played James Bond.
Yeah,
he plays a character. It's not clear what he's trying to do. It seems from the outset that he's trying to be like Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, but also a Bond villain. But he's also
kind of a villain. Yes, also a Bond villain.
He's got a different animal in every scene that he's petting. Right. Well, not every scene. The pig comes back twice.
But yeah, right.
There's a bunny. Right. I think there's a cat.
And we see him hilarious. When their manager, who's played by Richard E. Grant, who's a great actor.
Yeah.
Richard E. Grant is their manager, and he will call, I guess, this guy's the... He calls him Chief, but he's like the top guy of the record agency.
And he only speaks in riddles, Chief.
Yeah, so that's the... like, there's... It's like a hat on a hat on a hat. Like,
it's great.
Oh, it's like, okay, it's Charlie, but Charlie wasn't a villain in Charlie's Angels.
No.
He was just some rich, like, benefactor.
Yeah.
It just kind of doesn't make any sense.
Just give it to her. Just give it to her.
She wants. You're such a little pothead. Well, I want my weed treat, Daddy. It's 420 somewhere. Sit. Yes! Let me tell you something, PCMC listeners. There's nobody sits like Peach.
Yes.
Peach has sit down. We're in school now. Mm-hmm. Again for Peach. We've learned touch. She's pretty good at touch. Where you put your hand down and go touch, and then she touches it with her nose. We're learning drop it and leave it, which she really needs. I don't know if I ever talked about the rib debacle on the podcast, but
Ribgate.
Me and Jen went away last Thanksgiving, and we were where we go? The Catskills.
Upstate, yeah.
And so we were like driving back, it's a long drive, so we're like, oh, maybe she has to pee. Let's go to a parking lot. We go, and Peach picks up, like, a dirty, like, I guess it was, like, a beef rib. Like, a big rib that somebody just threw out of their car. And it was slimy, and it was gross. And and I was like, Peach, please give this to me. And she was like, this is my fucking rib.
This is treasure.
I am not listening to you at all right now. And it was just so upsetting.
Yeah.
And then I you laughed at me.
Well, it was hilarious. Because you came back all upset.
I was very upset.
All the way upset.
I had grizzle on my hands. I'm a vegetarian.
Bright red, all upset, all mad. at the dog.
Yeah.
And the dog in question could not have been happier.
Yeah.
I looked down.
What an asshole.
She's got a rib bone sticking out of her mouth like a little cigar.
Hey.
And it was the funniest scene I've ever seen.
What an asshole.
Oh, hilarious.
So let's talk about the first cameo is Elton John.
Yes.
And it's as if they were like, just show up. Like, literally, you could walk through the movie.
Yep.
Like you're walking through, like, a party. They're literally walking in a hall, and he comes by, and they're like, Elton! And he's like, hey, everybody, kisses him all on the cheek.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
That's it.
He's like, see you later. There's a lot. Bob Geldof, the producer, at one point is in there, where Scary's like, you need to do something with your hair, and she does his hair.
Oh, yeah.
Her hair like his.
Yeah.
Elvis Costello is a bartender.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you could call Meatloaf a cameo because he's in it multiple times.
Yeah.
And he's not playing Meatloaf. He doesn't get the treatment that Elton John got.
He's the bus driver.
Right. But then he does say, I love those girls and I do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
So he quotes his own song.
Yeah.
So there's cachet enough to be like, hey, this is Meatloaf. But he also doesn't get the right to just be Meatloaf. Like, I was so surprised in this movie when they were like, hey, Dennis.
Yeah.
I was like, I always my whole life thought that he was just Meatloaf, their driver.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was going to be like, sup, Meatloaf?
Mm.
Oh my God, I had such an old man moment yesterday. And I call it old man moment because a very, very old man. No, it was Thursday. A very, very old man who goes to the gym, who I love this guy. This guy's got to be in his 70s. And he's there all the time. He's hunched over. He's fighting through it.
Beautiful.
God bless him. But anyway, there was a Meatloaf song. For some reason, there was a Meatloaf song on the radio instead of some horrible fucking club music that usually happens in the gym. And he was like singing it, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, do you know Meatloaf's name? And I took a beat, and I was like, Marvin Lee a Day. And he was like, you're right. And then I was like...
And then you guys kissed?
It made me feel old. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't kiss. That's never the end of the story, yet you always assume that's the end of the story. Literally everyone, listen, every movie or TV show me and Jen ever watch, there'll be a scene and then Jen will be like, are they going to kiss? And it's never right. It's so rarely they're going to kiss. Even we were watching Pop Culture Jeopardy and you were like, are these two contestants going to kiss?
They did.
When did they kiss?
When they won.
They kissed on the lips?
No.
They kissed on the cheek?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. At first I felt seen. I was like, oh, this was a nice interaction with this old guy. But then I was like, the fact that he probably wouldn't have asked anyone else. He was like, oh, here's another old fuck like me.
No, it's because you guys made eye contact.
If I was a Gen Z kid and I made eye contact with him, he wouldn't have gone, hey, Gen Z kid. Do you know Meatloaf's real name? Because Gen Z kid would have been like, what's a Meatloaf?
But you looked like you knew who Meatloaf was.
Yeah, because I have a gray beard. That's why I look like
no,
I know Meatloaf.
No, because you
is.
Made eye contact with him while he was singing it.
Anyone would have. Look, whatever.
All right.
I was just old and that's okay.
Okay.
I just had an old man moment.
All right.
So George Wendt, Norm from Cheers, is in it. And his character's also a little baffling. I wonder if this is reshoots because his whole thing is he's a movie producer and he wants to, he thinks, oh, the Spice Girls are big right now. Let's put them in a movie. And, oh, what's his name from Kids in the Hall is his like partner or his junior or whatever. So it's Mark McKinney, one of the members of Kids in the Hall, plays like the junior producer. And they're like brainstorming what the Spice Girls movie could be. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Mark McKinney says, a movie with the Spice Girls, but can they act?
Uh-huh.
And that's like, then it's just this meta thing. Also, in the 1990s, there was this big thing in screenwriting where they would teach every script needs what they call trailer moments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a thing anymore
because
trailers have changed in so many ways. But like, you would need trailer moments. And this is like clearly a trailer moment. Because I remember in the trailer them being like the meta, like, can they act?
The answer is some of them.
Some can. And
you don't need them to.
What?
You don't need them to.
Yeah. No, you don't. The Beatles couldn't really act either. You know, they're the star of the show. They're good. I gotta say, one thing that they are good performance-wise is off each other. They have a real, like, Marx Brothers energy where they're able to, like, talk over each other and move around each other's bodies in an interesting way. So then George Wendt's character, like, he has a meeting at one point with Richard E. Grant, and he's wearing a green suit, which is important. Mm-hmm. Because, and they're, like, pitching movies, and that's one montage. And then way later on in the movie, we see another scene, and I think they cut it like it's supposed to be another meeting, but they're all wearing the same clothes, and it's like, clearly this was the same scene split up. But also, I wonder, not that George Wendt is such a huge American star, but part of me does feel like it's so outside of everything else, it feels like it could be reshoots. Because they never interact with the Spice Girls at all.
Right.
They're either by themselves or with Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
Or like dancing by themselves at the end.
Yeah, in the back of the concert. Yeah.
It could have been a reshoot to try to, like, I don't know, pull the whole thing together.
Could have been.
Although I think one of the funniest moments in the movie comes from them, because at the end of the movie kind of, like, at the end doesn't know how to end.
Yeah.
So the way they end it is by being like, they're like, we really got to pitch you this movie. So they start pitching the movie we've already watched.
Yeah.
And then they're explaining, like, they were at their, we haven't talked about the friend yet, but they were at their hospital with their friend who had a baby, and now they're racing back, and you're seeing everything that he's saying.
Uh-huh.
And then at one point, they're like, and then the bus is going to fly up in the air. And George Wendt's like, that could be very expensive. And then you see, like, a clearly toy.
It's so funny.
That's honestly the funniest part of the
movie. A toy version of the bus going over, like, a little toy bridge.
Yeah. That and one of the fart jokes, because it was a good fart joke. She says something very English.
Very British, yeah.
Yeah, she says like
tuck it in, Mel.
Tuck it in or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Tuck it in.
When they meet the alien, because there's like an alien sound.
Yeah, can we talk about the alien scene?
Yeah, please, I've been waiting.
They
get off the bus
because
all five toilets break. That's too many toilets for a bus,
well,
if you
it's a
ask
TARDIS.
Me.
So
I'm just saying. Anyway, all five toilets on the tour bus break. So they get off to go pee in the woods.
Yeah.
And it's spooky, and it's there's fog, and that's when the weird alien noise happens.
And it's like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And then he just tuck it in.
Yeah.
Tuck it in. That now. Got me. I like a fart joke when something's clearly not a fart.
Yeah.
Tuck it in. That's just a funny thing to say. Next time someone farts, you be like, tuck it in. I like it. Uh-huh. I like it. But then they meet aliens. Which happened, I feel like this was a big thing in really bad comedies in the 90s.
Yeah.
There would always be some random scene with, like, how about they meet aliens?
Yeah.
They meet aliens in Blues Brothers 2000. They meet aliens in Dude, Where's My Car?
Because it's so silly.
It's the ultimate silliness. And this was, and you know, like, the X-Files was out. This was a time where we really wanted to believe.
And these are silly aliens.
Yeah. They're Party City.
They were Party City aliens.
The masks that they're wearing are so clearly
masks.
Just shitty masks.
Yeah.
At one point,
they don't. Their
Ginger
mouths
goes to
don't
give
hold
one
it
a
all.
Kiss.
Yeah.
And like you just see her smush in the very plastic mask. It's like, what is this?
It's like silicone mask.
You know,
it's so good.
You made a joke that this was their idea, and that's how they got a writing credit.
Yeah.
They do have a writing credit. There's the credits for the writing are the idea. For the movie was by the Spice Girls and Kim Fuller.
Yeah.
So the Spice Girls and Kim Fuller, those two entities, those six people, they came up with the idea of this movie.
Yes.
Which is they watched Hard Day's Night. They're like, yeah, let's do that. And Kim Fuller is the writer of it. And then there's some additional writing by someone named Jamie Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim Fuller did... also wrote another classic, 2003's from Justin McKelly. but she also wrote a Tracy Takes On, which I remember being good. Although there's some egregious blackface in that show.
Oh.
The director, I haven't said the director yet. The director is Bob Spears, who did a lot of like great classic British comedy. He did Absolutely Fabulous. Have you seen that?
No.
Ab Fab, for sure. It was just about two very messy, drunk, middle-aged ladies
I love
just
that.
Being messy. and, like, being really shitty mothers to their kids.
Yeah.
It's actually very good.
Yeah.
And then he also directed a lot of Fawlty Towers, which is another, like, famous British comedy.
And this.
And then this. So that's three for three right there. And one of the fab ladies is in this movie. She's the one where she's talking to Posh, and Posh is like...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
what she
yeah.
asks her about?
She's talking to her about fashion.
Yeah.
And they're trying to break away from their stereotype. So
yeah.
Posh starts talking about manta rays because that's what Jerry was talking about.
Oh, right, and she thinks
and
that
then
that's
she thinks
a
that's
designer.
A designer.
Yeah, I should say this movie had a problem, which was everybody but Ginger has an adjective. So sporty yes. sporty, baby is cute. Baby's not an adjective.
No, Ginger.
Scary, scary.
Ginger is because it's the color of her hair.
But that's not.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, it's not.
What does that mean?
That's true. That's true.
They had
true.
To come up with her thing, and her thing ended up being she's smart. And the way this movie yeah. displays smart is she wins at chess in one scene, and she comes up with random facts.
But even before them, I mean, she was like the embodiment of girl power and feminism.
Well, she was the leader.
Yeah.
But it seems like when they were like, what's her thing going to be in the movie? She's the smart one.
But that was her thing in the Spice Girls.
Okay. But in real life, she probably wasn't bringing up random animal facts.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
That's what she does in the movie. Well, did any of them...
The largest fish in the world.
Excuse my naivete. Did they form themselves, or was it like a super group? Like, not a super group, but like one of those things where a producer brings them together.
I just Googled the
like NSYNC and, you know, all those boy bands.
It said that they answered an ad to form a pop group. That's what Google says in 1994.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And actually, Emma replaced someone.
So they didn't form themselves.
No.
Although the narrative of this movie would have you be
yeah, that they were best friends.
They were best friends and like one from rags to riches.
Yeah.
And they have a friend named Nicola, who
was always their friend, but wasn't right. in the group.
Right. You thought
I th-
you
I
misremembered.
Really,
you yes. were like she was the member that the missing member.
Yes.
I but that they don't say that at all.
No, I thought she was a six. When there's a scene where they. The one you think they added in the pizzeria where they go back to when they first started yeah. and they were poor. And I remembered her singing Wanna Be With Them.
Yes.
But that's not...
Right.
That
oh,
wasn't
yes.
it. She just hits play on the CD.
Right.
She's there.
Yeah. Well, they're together. So they have a big fight with the manager and they leave.
Oh, yes. And then they're all sad.
Remind me to get back to the manager because I have a big point about him. Sure. So, but they leave, and this is like they're not broken up from each other, but it's like the whole thing is kind of broken
yeah,
down. They don't know.
Yeah.
They storm out. They're like, we don't want to do it, whatever. Again, this exact thing happens in Hard Day's Night.
Sure.
And the Beatles run back in the end to do it.
Sure.
So they're like, they go to a pizzeria because, you know, they're real girls.
Yeah.
They're going to eat some pizza.
Yeah.
And then they sing Wannabe,
yeah.
which, thank God.
Yeah.
But then in the next scene, you see like two or three coming to like their old apartment.
Uh-huh.
And then they bump into the other two. And they're like, oh, you're here too? But they were just together a scene ago.
No, that was a flashback.
What do you mean it was a flashback? Which was
a
flashback?
The pizzeria.
The pizzeria was a flashback?
Yeah.
I thought that was what they were doing.
Sing Wannabe.
They're
talking about how they're going to be famous one day.
I don't remember.
And that's why they're singing it. That's the song that they wrote that they're going to be famous with.
Oh, okay.
Then they're eating pizza because they're poor because they have no money yet.
So maybe it wasn't a reshoot.
No, it was a flashback.
Huh. Okay.
And then they're coming. They all were upset about the big fight, so they're coming back to the place where they started.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
that's why they're surprised because they were in separate whatever.
Oh, okay. All right. Now I get it.
Or whatever.
All right. I thought that after the big fight, they're like, you know, let's go back to the old pizzeria.
Remember, the guy was like, the guy serving them was like, I prefer jazz because they were like, let me sing you their song. Let me sing you our song.
Oh, okay. So, like, it's like a Star Is Born moment.
Yeah.
Where they're holding like grated cheese and singing into it.
Yes.
And thank God. Because you got to have Wannabe.
But that's why I thought she was...
One of them.
One of them. In like...
It's weird that they didn't invite her. In the world of this movie, there are six friends and five of them create a group. And the
well, I guess she can't sing.
And they're like, fuck you, go get pregnant. Oh, the other joke that actually made me laugh was when she's like on the bus and she's in labor and they're like, what do we do? And then Ginger's like, put your legs together. Uh-huh. And then Pasha's like, no, Scary was like, no, she should have done that 9 months ago.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. Okay, so, all right. So maybe that was, so then that probably wasn't a reshoot. I thought it was a reshoot. She has the baby and then they're in the hospital with her.
Yeah.
Having the baby. And the baby's a girl.
Gotta be.
Right. And then Ginger says, and I don't know why she says this. It's a girl. She goes, now that's real girl power. Because a female child has been born. I get it. I get why you would say it in this movie, but it doesn't really make any sense.
Giving birth.
50-50 shot at that moment.
I know, but I think it was the
no, I don't think. Oh, you think the girl. You think the going through labor and the pain of labor is girl. It's. I read it as like the fact that this baby is a girl.
I know they do say it after, but I think
it's like Lion King moment. She's like, and this is girl power.
No, I think it was.
Okay. Okay. Hey, you know, this movie went right over my head.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that they do.
And giving birth to another girl.
Yes. But.
But I don't think it was the girl. I think it was, I don't know how to explain it. But
it's girl power to create more girls.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's womanhood. It's girlhood.
All right.
It was deep.
I didn't get it. I'm sorry. All right. So one of the things they do 3 or 4 times, which I don't think works at all, is fantasy sequences. Usually it's like, I don't know, proto Family Guy cutaways, but they don't tend to work. One is they're all mothers.
Yeah.
But they're also all still pregnant. It's weird. They're mothers and pregnant at the same time.
No, not all of them. Just baby.
But they're also talking about having kids, kids, established kids. So that's something. And then there's one where they're like, oh, Emma, you can get away with anything with your cute smile. And then it's Hugh Laurie as like a Sherlock Holmes type detective.
Yep.
And it's like the drawing room scene. And he's like, one of you is a murderer. And she's got like a gun.
And like bullet strap.
Like she's clearly the killer. And he says it's someone else.
Because she smiles. Because they say she can get away with anything with her smile.
Because she smiles at him.
So she smiles at him.
By the way, there's a lot of Dutch angles in this movie. Uh-huh. There's a lot of, Batman 60 show in it. Hey, there's one point where the villainous, Rupert Murdoch guy is talking, he's speaking to his underling and it starts to rain in his office.
Uh-huh.
What was that? what happened there in that scene?
They were like, what if it rains in your office?
All right.
Brilliant.
Okay.
We're just here for a good time.
I'm sorry. I get it.
It's a rom.
Okay.
We're just here for a good time.
Because most of the movie isn't like a airplane-style Zucker Brothers silliness. But that was pretty wildly silly.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I was overreading. I thought he was being mean. Like, he was saying something very dramatic, which is what made it rain.
It just rained. We're just here for a good time.
Okay.
It rains on the bad guy. We're just here for a good time.
If I had to, like, rewrite this movie, which no one's asking me to do, is...
No notes.
I think, again, this is just like Josie and the Pussycats. I think Richard E. Grant has to be the bad guy. Because he's a male in their life who's controlling them.
Yeah.
And he's often aligned with the villainous other men.
Yeah.
But he's also their friend and they like him.
Yeah.
It seemed like they wanted him to be a good guy and a bad guy at the same time, and it kind of doesn't fit.
They show that, like, he's the one that always has to break the news to them.
Right.
Like, he wants to give them the morning off, and then he calls the chief, and the chief says no.
Right.
And then they're leaving, and he has to be the one to say it.
Right. But it could have,
It could have just been.
It could have been a female.
Yeah.
It could have been, their magic could have been a female, a fictional magic.
Yeah.
And he's kind of. He's not sleazy, but he's like, you know, he has like weird suits. He's kind of like a player guy. I mean, he's also kind of like, you know, going like K-pop Demon Hunters has this. Like, he's like the manager of the girl group. And they're all like all over him. And they love him, but also treat him like shit.
Yeah.
The whole thing would have worked better. It all would have come together more if Richard E. Grant was the big villain.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Alan Cumming is in Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Alec Cumming's in this movie too, by the way, as a documentarian who's making a documentary about them, but really doesn't have access to them.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of him like chasing after them.
Yeah, from afar.
That actually reminded me of a movie that I saw when I was a real little kid. I remember very little about it. There was an ABBA movie. Not Mamma Mia. There was a movie in like the 70s called ABBA the Movie. And it's a lot like this. And I think the lead character is a journalist like trying to follow them. It's weird. It was not a successful movie. Oh, there's a interesting cameo from Bob Hoskins. Like Mel... Somebody turns into him. Like, they're like, oh, I'm great with disguises.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Jerry.
Yeah.
Well, they do like a Superman thing.
Oh, right, 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 right. So, yeah, right, right.
Oh, it's when they're pitching one of the crazy movies.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
And she goes into a phone booth and then spins around like Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
The spinning around thing and then turns into Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
All right. They really were like, you know what, just everybody.
Everybody, anything.
Anybody who wants him. If you wanted this movie, you could be in this movie.
Yeah.
What is your favorite scene and what is your least favorite scene?
I don't.
We ask hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, I know. So. I don't love the pregnancy, like, fantasy.
Okay.
Where they're all moms.
Okay.
And that, I think, has them all, like, the worst acting.
Yes.
It's so cringy.
Well, it's like a sketch in what's already a kind of sketchy movie.
Right. Yeah. I do like the aliens.
Aliens is your favorite scene?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but I do. Hold on. Hold on.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. We have a little time.
I mean, I was kind of excited to see the boat scene again, just because it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it feels like...
Yeah.
They just caught them, like, having fun. Because they're not singing one of their songs.
Yeah.
They're singing a song, whatever.
Lollipop. Oh, yes. Lollipop, lollipop. Right? Was it that
one? No, it's like, my boy, lollipop, make my heart go giddy up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's also the scene where they have two random children with them.
Yeah, that, like, won a contest. But, like, just them singing and dancing around seemed really fun.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they didn't have to, they could just have fun with it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pick. Probably when I saw it, I was most excited about them pretending to be each other, because that's really fun.
Yeah.
And that was probably our most quoted thing.
Right. Well, it's interesting, because who plays Ginger? Scary? Yeah.
Yes.
And she almost makes fun of her a little bit. She's like, girl blah, power, blah, blah, or whatever.
Girl blah, power, blah, blah. Yeah, feminism.
Yeah.
Because she's constantly talking.
Okay, my favorite scene.
Uh-huh.
Is probably that scene too.
Yeah.
That whole montage
yeah.
is really fun.
Yeah.
And my least favorite is the dance instructor / army general.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of is like, what is this?
I don't like him, but I've always said to you when we watched it, the whole
army obstacle
the
course.
The obstacle course looks fun.
Well, whenever I watched
that always looked fun.
The episode of Saved by the Bell where they have the army obstacle course, I always thought that looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
So I did think that, but before that moment, he's like, and his name is Mr. Steps.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, he's their dance instructor for this gig they're doing,
uh-huh.
but they also clearly have their own moves.
Yes.
And he's also like, in army outfit. So he's like an army person slant. Like, it's just...
Well, it's a boot camp. It's a dance boot camp. That's what they said it was.
Okay. I feel like there's a lot of...
That was the morning they were supposed to be off, and now they have to go to dance boot camp.
See, okay. But there's no one else in the camp with them.
I'm telling you, ours kept cutting out. And I was like, you're losing the flow of it. And you were like, the flow doesn't matter. The flow clearly matters. You're not getting this movie.
I'm so sorry. You're not
understanding it.
I'm so sorry.
You're not seeing the brilliance of it. I think we need to watch it again.
Okay. For a movie cashing in on a huge phenomenon.
Yes.
It seems like they poured very little money into this.
Yeah.
It's very cheap looking.
Yeah.
A lot of the sets are super cheap looking.
It was for me and my friends.
That's
they said. Here's the Spice Girls. You want the Spice Girls? Here's the Spice Girls.
No, you think they would have poured a lot more money into it?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I mean, God, I bet this movie—it's
silly bananas, and I thank you for it.
Let's look how much this movie made. Well, actually, we can look on IMDb how much it cost and how much it made in 1997 dollars. The budget was $25 million estimated. Really? That's a lot for that. Yeah, I guess it, well, I don't, that's not on the screen. It's opening weekend in the United States and Canada made $10 million, and its gross worldwide was $29 million, and its gross Canada, and so it made like $60 million on a $25 million. So it made its money back.
Yeah.
Let's go to the old Rotten Tomatoes. And look, you know, I'm a critic of Rotten Tomatoes. It's not a good metric, but you know, it's good to just take a temperature. You
know? It doesn't.
It doesn't. Well, I just want to get an idea of what people at the time thought.
Oh.
Spice World.
Rotten Tomatoes did it exist?
No, but it may have existed in some way, but it doesn't matter. Like, they'll go back to old reviews, contemporary reviews.
Oh, I see.
Like, there's only 69 reviews here. It's got a 33. And it's got a 45 audience, which is interesting.
It's got 100 in my heart.
Whitney B. says, it's endlessly funny, completely silly, totally lighthearted. This movie is pure nostalgic bliss.
Yep.
It is a time capsule of pure 90s enjoyment.
Yep. That.
Okay.
Clock it.
What more is there to say that we have not said?
It's a masterpiece and it should be cherished.
No, but all right. So serious question though.
Uh-huh.
When was the last time you saw it before today?
Yeah, not in a while.
So
I can't remember the last time.
How do you feel seeing it today with grown-up eyes? Obviously, yeah, the nostalgia does a lot. But what are you like? What was your thoughts? Was there anything that was like, I remember this being differently? I remember this being better. I remember this being worse. Like, what were your feelings now?
It's super silly. It doesn't make any sense. Although I kind of remembered it not making sense, but not really caring.
Yeah.
You're
just hanging out with the girls.
That's all you're doing. For an hour and a half. That's all you're doing. And that's all you need.
That is all you need.
I don't know. I mean, I think it matched pretty well to what I remembered. I guess some of it was a little more cringy than I remembered.
Yeah.
Can
I tell you the weirdest scene, in my opinion?
Sure.
The scene where a boy...
Oh, yes. I remember
a child
that.
Comes out of a coma based on the... assumption that he's going to see Ginger's boobs.
Yeah.
They're in the hospital with their friend who's having a baby, and then these parents come up to them and like, hey, our son is in a coma. Can you come and try to talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
And then they do, and then...
They're not really sure what to say.
Right.
So then Posh makes a joke, like...
Which is funny.
Yeah, like, maybe you should take your top.
Yeah.
Because they're talking and nothing's happening.
Right.
And
it's funny when they're like, hi, and then Posh yells at him like, hi!
Yeah. And then Jerry was like, well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, his eyes are closed.
And then he opens
his
eyes.
To
see boobies.
No boobies to be seen.
All right. This has been PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. Jen, thank you so much for being here and for sharing this with me and with us.
Thank you.
And I know there's a lot of people who are listening that feel just as much love as you. And I love love. And hey. We're here for...
It's girl power.
A good time.
Yep.
Girl power. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.
Girl power.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Girl power.
Girl power.